certainly, Lord, lift up and magnify your name. We adore you. We certainly reverence you. We've come, Lord, to learn of you. We pray, God, in this time that we have together, that you would again refresh us, that you would again, Lord, bring us to a place that, as Isaiah declared, that we can reason together. It is good for us to be here. And we are certainly, Lord, thankful for all that you did, even without our awareness, to get us here. You kept death at bay. You gave us safe passage as we traveled on the highways. You did not allow the enemy to have victory over us today. And for that, Lord, we are excited and we're very thankful. And again, we pray that you would open our eyes and our ears, and that, Lord, what we learned today, we began to live today. Let us no longer procrastinate, or let us no longer postpone or program. Let's just be real. Drive us hard, God, that we might be stronger, and require of us that we be accountable. Thank you, Father, today for entrusting us as good stewards over all of the treasures that you have placed around us, lives, even the material things, our health, our awareness. God, we've got to make good on these things. And we pray, God, that you will remind us each and every moment of our lives that you are the giver of every good and perfect gift. Let us, Lord, count it all joy, even, Lord, when we are faced with difficulties, because we've come to learn that opposition makes us stronger. When those who criticize us, those who confront us and challenge us, they mean, Lord, for us one thing, but you have a greater plan. And so, God, we take it all. We stand strong and stand firm, for we recognize that this is a soldier's fight, and we will endure as good soldiers and good servants. Father, we ask that you bless these who are with us and those who desire to be with us. We pray, God, that you will bring us together on one accord. For when we are on one accord, great and marvelous things will happen in this body. Father, again, forgive us of our sins. Have mercy, Lord. And Lord, give us the strength and integrity to tell you what we can't tell nobody else. But God, we will summarize by simply saying, have mercy. Forgive us, Lord, and help us to fight better than we've ever fought before, that we might bring glory to your name. God, we ask it all by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, God bless you. Would you go with me again to John chapter 14? And we're building us a good house to live in, that God would certainly reside there with us forever. I mentioned on Thursday night how, you know, we get excited when people first come to be with us, and in about 2 or 3 days we start getting kind of excited that they'll be leaving soon. But I heard the Lord say, if you let me come in, I'll stay with you. And I think that's what we really want. We want the Lord to stay with us. And it's critical for us to never forget that we have the first move to make. And that is, we got to open the door. You know, he's knocking. I mean, you know, there are people who've shown up at our door that certainly we didn't invite. But we got to make a decision once we hear them knock or ring the doorbell. And some of us who sit by the window looking outside just see if anybody coming. When you see them coming, you have to make a decision, you know, as to how you're going to receive them. And I really believe that we cannot overlook in the body of Christ that that is still a part of our reality in the relationship that we're in. I don't, you know, I stay away from using the term religion a lot, because I really think that the art of religion can be confusing. But I think when you understand relationship with God, which I believe that's what Jesus really was intent upon, establishing relationship. Because he didn't say, I came to be your religion. He said, I came to be your friend. I came to be your brother, your father, your co-laborer. That's relationship. That's not religion. We can make religion out of a lot of things. You heard people say, you know, I religiously go to bathroom every, you know, I religiously go to work this way. I religiously, you know, and you know, that's fine, but it doesn't save anybody. Doesn't mean anything to anybody but you, really. So this abiding is critical. And again, Maybe we didn't talk about that enough in the initial stages, but I really think you ought to understand when he knocks at that door, you have to make a decision. Again, part of what we talked about, and I know some of you do attend all of the learning opportunities, but on Thursday night, I gave you five things. We only got three of them done, but two of them, again, are critical about you need to understand that you have to establish your opinion about the Lord. You have to have your opinion. You can't keep asking other people, what will you do with the Christ? You need to know. You know, when Jesus asked that question, who do men say that I am? Everybody should have gave their answer. You know, the scriptures don't go, you know, down the line like, you know, we're doing a roll call. The other thing is, in skipping the second one, but going to the third one, was this thing about obedience. We've witnessed the church drifting from obedience to option. You know, well, I ain't got to go. I don't have to give. I ain't got to go to everything. That's option. I don't find that in my Bible. And I know you can't find it in yours either. We are required of God. And again, if you don't choose to be a disciple, then none of this applies. You don't have to worry about it. You know, it's just like certain organizations, I could really care less what they require of their members or whatever you want to call it, because I don't belong to that organization. And there are organizations, there are certain civic groups or like even fraternity, if you will, or things like Masons, Shriners. And I've been invited, and I mean, people told me about it. I'm like, nah, no thank you. So I don't have to worry about the secret handshake and the knock and the password, because I didn't want to be a part of that. And I don't boo-hoo people that are. It's just I didn't think that was going to work for me, especially considering. And let me tell you something. Please do this for yourself. From this day forward and for the rest of your life, if indeed you, I keep missing my sign, if indeed you declare yourself to be a disciple, please make every decision for the rest of your life based on the most important relationship you're in your life, and that is I'm a Christian disciple. That way, some things you won't be a part of and some places you won't go. The devil's not going to stop being busy, but you really have to think about the most important thing in your life. If in fact in him you live, move, and have your being, there are some things you can't be a part of. Remember now, as I said, I'll go back over them very quickly, but one of the things I gave you last week was you've got to be led as you desire to learn. And that means that if you're in a relationship, take if out, because I'm giving you all full credit, because you're in a relationship with the Lord, everything you do after that is because I'm in a relationship with the Lord. Okay, those of you who are married, let's back up to when you were single. There are a lot of things you did when you were single that when you became married, you just simply said, well, I'm married. I can't do you. You like Suge Avery. I was married now. And there are things you don't do anymore. Same thing for those of you who have been a part of fraternities or sororities. I think they call it rush when everybody's trying to get somebody. Well, once you decide, you have to declare that so everybody else will leave you alone. And once they say you, and then people start treating you different, don't they? Because you declared, you know, some people who don't like the Kappas because you didn't decide to be an Omega. You know, it's just a little line between us, you know, and we definitely don't have no problem defining why I became a Kappa and you became a Q, you know. So same thing with, you know, sororities. But there is a place when you have to declare your allegiance, and your allegiance builds your strength. And because we're in the body of Christ and there is none like him, he is the supreme, he is sovereign, he is our strength. I could preach now. There are things that we say, no, man, because that's going to take away from this. You don't want to water it down. You want to make it stronger. Be thou strong in the Lord. You know, build yourself. You know, and so when we look at this opportunity now, when God is knocking at that door, and for some of us, that came a long time ago, but the fruit ought to be there. You know, this old building keep on leaning. Well, I've been here a while. But because we've accepted that invitation, he stays with us. So again, back in John 14, we were talking about some things that I want to build a little further on. And verse 12 is where we're at now in John 14, verse 12. He says simply this. And again, this is almost embarrassing for a seasoned church to have to go back and look at elementary things. But as I've said before, the more we learn, sometimes the more we forget. As my father's faithful saying used to be, the more I teach y'all, the dumber I get. I don't know what his problem was. Maybe he should have rode a short bus and he'd have been all right. But listen to what, and again, we have a New Living Translation Bible, but listen to what he says. He says, this is the simple truth. The truth is, that's good about God. You do know he's all truth. Isn't that, how many of you wish you knew people that were all truth? How many of you wish you knew people that were at least half a truth? Amen. How many of you know people don't have no truth? Okay, we all need therapy. But here's the point. He said this is the simple truth. Now let's simplify basic Christian discipleship for a moment. Everything that we are going to do and everything that we're going to ever be, live, learn, teach, abide in, is hinged on one simple doctrine, one simple discipline, truth. You ever been lied to? Changes everything, doesn't it? Okay, we got all grown folk. Remember how they faked us out with Santa Claus? Man, they had us cleaning up our room, brushing our teeth, going to bed early. You know, especially around October, November, it ratcheted up. Well, you think you're going to get anything for Christmas with that kind of behavior? You know, we tightened up, man. We got home early. Our friends, man, let's go, man. I got to get straight home. He coming. And then when we found out, Daddy, that was you all the time? Rascal. Blowed out my tooth fairy. Man, we didn't mind losing our teeth back then. You got a reward. Now we want them, you know, we buying extras to put them back. But they faked us out. We bought it. And then whenever we were out of order, the boogeyman. Yeah, the boogeyman gonna get you. No! And we believe, okay, but when we got to the truth, that reshaped everything. And not all of it got reshaped positive. Some of it just made us renegades. Now that we know we ain't got to worry about it, we buying our own stuff now. We can do anything we want. You know, and so, again, here's the simple truth. If the Christian church does not make its greatest investment in the greatest thing, what is our value? We're making our investment in mortar and bricks and pavement. And is that really making us a greater church? Because we build it bigger, because we got more folk. I said, my friend said, you know, because he has a mega church. He said, Doc, listen, all we got is more Negroes in a bigger building. Because if we don't do truth, we don't do nothing. Stay with me. If we don't do truth, we don't do nothing. So what he said, the truth is, anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I've done and even greater works because I'm going to be with the Father. Okay, what are we doing? Primary goal, primary mission, assignment of the church is what? Make more disciples. What did Jesus do when he got here? What's the first thing other than, you know, him going to the pool with John? What does he immediately start doing? Making disciples. You know, when Andrew runs up there and says, excuse me, sir, can I go with you? Jesus says, I tell you what. He starts making disciples. He doesn't ask him anything out of the ordinary. It's simple. And that's what we need to do now. Just do the simple thing. Just make more disciples. And then the other thing to understand is you cannot do ministry if you don't understand ministry. Now, that might sound silly, but it's the truth. Because a lot of what we do isn't kingdom work. It's selfish. It's self-promoting. We Jesus right out the picture. And so he says, here's the truth. Anyone who believes, now let's park there for a minute. Belief systems are built based on truth or lies. Remember, we can go back to the Santa Claus thing. That was a belief system. We believed in that. And people are like, you believe in Santa Claus? Oh, yes, wholeheartedly. Well, if somebody asked you that at 35 years old and you say yes wholeheartedly, they're going to start backing up real slow. Saying, wish you well in that. Because now they're thinking, what's wrong with you? Same thing I can say about the church. At our age, why are we still struggling with simple truth? When we believe in other things and there's no debate about it. Y'all remember that, again, most of you are old enough. You might not be. Sean might not be. Harmony should be. Remember that old Tarkington commercial? Who remembers the slogan of Tarkington? What was the slogan? And the guy was standing there with a black eye. Then they, you know, there was a big fallout when they started showing a lady with a black eye. And so they dropped her. They did, you know, people didn't like seeing a lady with a black eye. You know, and you can understand it. Now, we're living in a time now where you can show a lady with a black eye, nobody ain't going to hardly say too much. You know, but he said, I'd rather fight than switch. Wouldn't that be nice if people in the church had that kind of mentality? Better yet, if people who were truly in the body of Christ had that mentality. People walk out of churches for the silliest thing. You know why? Because they don't believe in him. You got to keep your eyes on God. How many of you drive? Ever been distracted? What happens? Bad things. Bad thing. How many of you ever had a motor vehicle accident? Okay. And what was part of the reason? Anybody, tell me what happened. First of all, don't say it was the other guy's fault. I don't want that story. Tell me what you did wrong. Fell asleep. Thank you. That's the one I was looking for. You fell asleep. Why? You were probably tired. You had probably exhausted yourself doing many, many other things. And that's what Paul said happens in the church. He said many have fallen asleep. You know why we fall asleep? We use up all our energies. And we don't use all of them in the kingdom. We use our energies for a whole lot of things. And then we get to church and go, whew. We don't hear nothing the pastor says about ministry, about motivating ourselves. We talk, all right, Reverend, whatever. And people wake us up midstream and you go, what? And then make your decisions based on misinformation that you created for yourself. And so what he says is, if you believe in me, so you got to believe in him. And you can't let people distract you with nonsense. Because your relationship in the Lord has nothing to do with what color we paint the walls, or what color carpet we go with, or what theme we come up with for the year. Let's keep it simple and stupid, like in the military. You know, keep it simple, stupid. Let's keep our belief systems intact. Because if you let somebody ring your doorbell and confuse your belief systems, that's not the pastor's fault. You didn't have a good foundation. How many of you ever been to an assembly plant where they put stuff together? Interesting, isn't it? When you see the finished product. You know what's interesting even more than that, or more interesting than that? It's what happens before they even start the assembly. There's a phase where somebody sits in front of an easel with a blank piece of paper and says, what if? And they do rough sketches. You know how many rough sketches wind up in the garbage can before they came and said, okay, that'll work. Then they go to another person who refines their idea. All of this takes years. So what makes us think we can walk in a church on one Sunday, stand here, say, I, Pastor, I comes to give my life to the Lord, and we got it all figured out? It takes years. It takes a process of building a foundation that it'll still, that's why automobiles, Henry Ford really didn't invent the first car. He was just got to have the money to keep it going. But from that day to this, it still has four wheels. A car is still basically a car. From once, and somebody realized this works. And then we can build upon it. Okay, cars have gotten better. Houses, better. Institutions of higher learning, better. Everything's gotten better except the church. Do you think wherever you work at, think where you work at now, think of how many people are in that building, think of the colleges and universities you attend. You go to Virginia Tech, You think Virginia Tech would still be in existence. What's the founding date? You know the founding date of Virginia Tech? 1871. Wow. That means you paid attention. Do you think that Virginia Tech could still be in existence if it was attended to like this? No, it wouldn't, would it? No. No way. It kept building. People took an interest in what they offered because it would benefit them. Down. When you get your degree, what field are you getting your degree in? Geography, okay. Everybody in here who's going to colleges and universities, the places of higher learning, you had an interest and you said, when I finish this, I'll be able to do this. Can you imagine what would happen if the church thought like that? If when we finish new discipleship training or when we finish our course of learning in 2016 about discipleship life, then we'll do this. See, that's what we don't do in the church. We really don't take an interest because what we believe in does not dictate what we do. Better yet, who we believe in does not dictate who we are. I'm preaching, ain't it? That's the problem. We have no real foundation. We take church as a casual experience. We'll come in, maybe, or maybe not. We'll pay attention, maybe, based on the subject matter. But we have no foundation. So where do we make our stand? How do we defend? How do we make it stay alive if there's no real foundation? If all we want is an instantaneous moment of clapping, patting our feet, shaking our head and going, whoa, and out the door, we have nothing. What do you believe in? Who do you believe in? Why do you believe? Build something. And we don't like the process of discipleship making because it takes from us this self-promoting, selfish mentality. And Jesus, that's the first thing he abolished. Basically, he said to Matthew and to John and to Luke, I don't care what you are. I've come to make you what I want you to be. And they bought in. Matthew walked away from his tax collecting desk. Luke left his practice. The boys left their fishing. Ask yourself today, you don't have to answer me verbally, but go inside yourself and ask yourself, what have you left that you might become what he desired you to be? You can't keep walking around talking about, I know the plans I have for you. You can't keep saying God's going to open up windows of heaven. You can't keep saying the Lord is your shepherd and you're not a good sheep. You don't have a foundation, therefore we can't go forward. We are stuck in, we're in primary school. No, not, we're in pre-K. Because we got people who whine and boogie and need a nap and somebody got to go remind them how wonderful they are. That's crazy. That's ridiculous. For a church that's 150-something years old. What was Virginia Tech's founding date? They beat us by 2 years or so. The fact of the matter is this. Jesus said, believe in me. Anyone who really believes in me, this is the truth. If you believe in me, watch what should happen. If you believe in me, you'll do the same works that I have done. And he said, and you'll get better. Ask yourself, those of you who've been in church, and again, we got all adults here. Do you really think the church is getting better? Seriously. There's an old commercial. Melvin will remember this. Rudy will remember Tom. Most men will remember. Ladies, I'm not trying to insult you. But Oldsmobile, who's gone out of business, really, they're done. They had a commercial somewhere around the mid-80s, and their slogan was, this is not your father's Oldsmobile. This is the new generation of Olds. What Oldsmobile realized was everybody thought Oldsmobile, and their name, they realized this. Somebody sit in the think tank, some guy on Madison Avenue, and y'all know Madison Avenue is where all this advertising stuff, said that your name is what hurts you. People see you as Oldsmobile. Old, not Olds, Oldsmobile. They think old people drive Oldsmobile. So young people didn't buy Oldsmobiles. And so Oldsmobile said, well, we can't run the risk of changing our name because we have this tradition. They were established as old. And really, it was the guy's name who went to General Motors and sat down with Harley Earl. And they said, well, okay, you can be a part. You know, General Motors started out as one company, really, one manufacturer. And then, you know, Chevrolet, the guy that invented, that was kind of like the Chevrolet guy, and Harley Earl sat down together and said, man, let's do this. And such. That's how DeLorean wound up spinning off, because John DeLorean actually worked for GM. I know y'all don't get all this, but I'm going somewhere. John DeLorean worked for GM, got frustrated that they would not innovate and build modern technology. You remember the movie Back to the Future? Well, everybody saw the DeLorean. That's why they chose that car, because it said what the movie was trying to say, that there's going to come a time when the future is going to be different, but we're going back to where it all started. And that's why Doc and the boy was, you know, trying to shoot to the clock and go through the wall and break the time continuum and all that kind of stuff. Well, Oldsmobile said, we got to come up with a way to attract young buyers. And so they made this commercial. This is not your father's Oldsmobile. This is the new generation of Olds. And they had young people driving their cars and doing donuts and, you know, in the Cutlass Supreme and all that. And so they came up with a 442 and a Rocket V8. You know, that was Oldsmobile's motor, the Rocket 350. You know, everybody wanted, and, you know, and so there came a time when Oldsmobile said, it ain't working. So the chairman of General Motors brought him in and said, we're going to shut down the Oldsmobile division. And they did. And then people were like, boo-hoo-hoo, where's Oldsmobile? No, if all y'all who saying where's Oldsmobile had bought one, we could have stayed in business. And then a couple of years later, Pontiac went away. Because people looked back and said, that old chieftain Indian, people said, Pontiac, the wide tracker. Nobody cared about it. Boom, there goes Pontiac. And then you go to Chrysler, same thing happened with Plymouth Division. Gone. Why? Because nobody took an interest. It waned. What do you think is going to happen to the church if we don't keep building based on truth? Remember, cars still work because it works. It's still got four wheels, brake pedal, accelerator, steering component. You know, they don't steer like this anymore. Now we got fancy steering wheel with airbags and radio control. How many of you have a pretty modern car? You can control your radio. Yeah, I mean, right there at the steering wheel. How confusing is that? You should be driving. You should be playing with stuff. You know, GPS, in as much as GPS is, they have figured out, the National Highway Safety Administration has figured out that it's the gadgets in the car now that's causing people to have wrecks. And so what they did to keep from getting sued, when you turn your car on, what does it say? Please do not become distracted while using operational features of this, you know, like that's going to keep them out of a lawsuit. Because that's what we do when something goes wrong, we sue somebody. Well, I'm going to file a lawsuit against a whole lot of people, because this church thing ain't working right. Something's wrong. Somebody's to blame. The truth is, anyone who believes. Now, notice what Jesus said, because here's the connection. He says, whosoever will, let him come. Now he says, anyone. So that still works. Believe in God, believe also in me. That still works. I have come to do the works of him that sent me. That still works. So what happened? There is no disconnect in the kingdom. There's a disconnect on earth. There's nothing wrong with God. I don't care what the atheists say. I don't care what other religions say. We can prove that our God is God, and there is no God like our God who is God, because there is no God like God.
Amen.
He said, if you believe in me, you'll do the works. Church was never meant to be a place where you come just to get you happy. It was a place to come get instruction. And then you heed those instructions. And it works. Again, take these colleges and universities, all you college-bound people, all of you universities, all you alum and alumnus and whatever you is now, la-di-da-di. The only reason society continues to make leaps and bounds is because people became educated. You learned and you applied what you learned. Geography, we're going to always need maps and know how to get places. Doctors, nurses, we still need those people. And that's why medicine, is, you know, Raven's not here today, but that's why medicine, man, listen, you can have a heart attack anywhere in the country now, and you got about an 80% chance of survival. Because medicine is advanced. You can catch a disease, or you can get sick, and there's something out, and I don't recommend none of that, but if it happens to you, man, it ain't like in the old days where you died because of an infection. Because it wasn't sanitary. Man, listen, you can go to Walmart and buy a sterile pack. If you put your hands in the gloves and wash it, you can keep people alive. You know, back in the day, it's certain stuff you took, that might have been what killed you. Because there were no standards. They made stuff in some basement somewhere, you know, like a meth lab or something, and put it in a... Now, they have stringent rules. That's why Chipotle's in trouble. That's why Bluebell ice cream is in trouble, because there are standards. You can't just make people sick and say, oops. We sue you. We call the FDA and the USDA. Remember mad cow disease? That's how they called it. There was standards. Somebody said, wait a minute. What's the common denominator here? People are eating, and they can, it's amazing how they can trace that stuff back to one place. You know why? Because we have people who are good at that. They know lot numbers. Any of y'all ever paid attention to lot numbers on your boxes and stuff? Any of y'all ever saw in the news where they were doing a recall and you were too lazy to go even look at your lot number? Amen. Come on, talk back to me. Because you said to yourself, oh, that ain't, I ain't got nothing to worry about. I ain't here. You just lazy. Amen. There are things that we need to do in the body of Christ that no other place would even care that we do. Again, I've said this to you before. How many of you, when you took your job application, or application to school, universities, or wherever you were, anybody in this room, was there a spot, a box to check on your application that said, are you saved? You think they care if you saved? All they care about if you show up to work. Did they ask you what church you go to? No. Now, there's some restaurants around here, and really it's just get you to come, that if you bring your church bulletin, you get 10% off. Well, la-di-da. You think they really care? All they want is your money. The bulletin is insignificant. You could really get 10% off if you just negotiate. You can. All you got to do is say, listen, I'd like to have a discount. And they'll go back and get the manager, and he'll come stand there and go, how are you? Say, listen, I brought 7 people in here. I used to do it all the time. Any restaurant I go in, they get to know me because I'm going to talk to somebody. I said, look, man, I brought 7 people in here today. Y'all ain't only got nobody in here today. Y'all ought to do something for me. Ice cream for everybody, a piece of pie. Oh, well, okay, I think we can work that out. It's how you talk to people. But how you talk to people has to do with how smart you are. Yeah, because there's an old saying, you never know how dumb anybody is until they open their mouth. Okay? That's why silence has been deemed to be golden. Okay. So the truth is this. So he says, here's what we need to do. Again, We're gonna be led like we want to live, okay? I learned. He says, this is what you should be doing, the same thing that I've done. How can you do what I've done if you're not looking at what I'm doing? How many of you ever tried to train somebody or teach somebody a skill and they don't get it? And a lot of factors come into play. Sometimes they're distracted. Sometimes it's not really their desire. How many of you ever had somebody that came to you because somebody sent them to you? And you knew it. And they said to you, well, the only reason I'm here because my mama told me to come over here. On your job, how many of you have had somebody come to your workstation or supposed to sit up under you and learn? And that's the first thing they said. Well, Mr. Charlie told me to come down here and you was going to teach me how to run the Betamax 390. And you said, well, do you want to run? No, he just told me to come down here. I mean, man, I'd rather be over there where I was. You know now this ain't going to work well at all. But you do it because same Mr. Charlie that sent him is the same Mr. Charlie you work for. So you say, well, Mr. Charlie sent you down here, and I got to keep my job. You got to keep your job. Let's just try to get through this. How many of you ever used that statement when you started out in some project? So, well, let's just get through this. So you know now none of us are really motivated to do this. But let's just get this over with. How about that line? Let's just get this over with. Or how about this one? The sooner we get started, the sooner we get it done. So what does that say? None of us ain't really into this. And I really believe that we don't understand the doctrine and the discipline and the duty and the desires that go into Christian discipleship, lest someone teach us. Here's what God says that we can't keep twisting up. I will give you the desires of your heart. And then I'll say that other part that goes with that, because a lot of time we miss that anyway. But he said, I'll give it to you. So the real issue is, what do you want? Because what you want is the motivation to get what you want. Florida had an advertisement some years ago. I'm from the great state of Florida. It says, when you need it bad, we got it good. Come to Florida, we got it good here. When you need it bad, we got it good. Come to Florida, we got it good here. And they ran that advertisement in the north during the winter time. Because what does everybody want to do when it's freezing cold? Get warm. Where is it allegedly always warm. Florida, they show you beaches and people walking along the shores throwing sticks for their dog and all that kind of stuff. And you out there shoveling, man, I need it bad. They got it good. I'm going to Florida. They got it good there. And people, they call them snowbirds. We have a terminology in the South for people who flock to us. Snowbirds. Because you left the snow to come here. And guess what happens to the room rates? If you come to Florida the wrong time of the year, you're going to get gassed. Do you know, and you don't know because you don't live there, we have a thing called in-state rates for our tourist attractions. What we pay as Florida residents at Disney World, you'll never pay because we show our Florida driver's license and we pay a whole lot less than you'll ever pay. That's at most attractions in the state of Florida. You know why? Because they're so glad we came because we live here. You know that most people who live in places where there are attractions never take them in? Most people who live in Washington, D.C. have never looked at the monuments other than going, They don't take the tours. People who live in D.C. don't care about no cherry blossoms. People drive all the way to Washington at a given time of the year, hotel rates go up, because they want to watch trees. Are you serious? Those of us who, okay, let me show you. How many of you who are in this room right now who have lived, say, Lynchburg, Camel County, whatever, have ever gone to D.C. to tour the monuments? Nerds. You are. How many of you have ever gone to Appomattox, Lynchburg, places like that? You live in Lynchburg. But Petersburg, I meant to say, Petersburg. The trail, in other words, you know, the Civil War thing. Nerd, you're a major nerd, Pat Price. Sister Odie, bless you. I'll give you credit as being a good citizen. But there are people who live here that have no idea what happened at Appomattox. The slogan is, "We're our nation reunited." You know how many people that have no idea that live in Appomattox, what that means? Yeah. Most people can't even say Amherst. It's Amos. That is not the name of this. But my point is this. People who don't desire to learn a thing are stuck and have no idea. And if you don't really know what truth is and don't desire truth, if you don't take to giving it the extra effort, you're not going to become. You know, we talk about that disciple-making thing all the time. And people still talk about members. Because for some reason, somebody didn't read the Bible close enough and start talking about the members. Jesus never said, go make members. And don't let people dummy you down by trying, it don't make a difference, it's the same thing. It's not the same thing. It is not the same thing. Again, go to your doctor, let him take out his prescription pad and write arsenic instead of aspirin and tell me it don't make a difference. You go and fill a prescription with some arsenic, and they're looking and say, oh, you don't need six capsules of arsenic. You only need one. Let me save you some money. I'll just give you one. Ain't no need you paying for 30 bottles. You won't need a refill either. I'm going to scratch that part out. Because if you take this one, it's over. And oh, it don't make no difference. The doctor wrote it. No, I need to know what you wrote. And why are you prescribing that for me? Same thing in the body of Christ. It does matter. What you are matters. How many of you ever fussed at somebody about calling you out your name? Yeah, because your name means something. Amen. So he said, all right, this is what the truth is. He said, same works, greater works. Then verse 13 comes along, and I like verse 13, because he says anything. But what's the bottom line there? What's the foundation of that? In my name. He said, if you get verse 12 right, you can come to verse 13. How many of y'all ever played Monopoly? The game, okay. What's the real kick in Monopoly? Come on. Huh? Property, okay. Hotels. What is it? To pass go. That's really what Monopoly all is. Because you can't get none of that other stuff till you pass go at least one time. Remember now, read the rules. See, y'all play Monopoly ghetto style. Y'all just make up stuff as y'all go along. The rules say you can't buy anything until you pass go one time. And everything after that is passing go. That's why they have in community chess and what's the other one? Community chess is one chance. Pass and go is the trick, man. And if you get that one that says go directly to do not pass go, go to jail, man, your whole game ruined. Because when you're in jail, the rules say you can't collect money for your properties when people land on them. But y'all cheat and say, oh, I might be in jail, but that's my money. No, the rules say if you are in jail and somebody land on your boardwalk or your hotel or your you can't do nothing about it. That's why people like to see you go to jail. Now, oh, I can land here without restriction, no penalty. You got to pass go. So when you pass go, man, you in now. But you got to get through all that. You got to keep rolling the dice. You got to keep making. And nobody wants to buy the railroads. But trust me, buying the railroads and getting all four of them, you are king. Trust me, everybody, I don't want no railroad. Okay. Here's what you need to understand about the body of Christ. He said, listen, in my name, you're going to pass go every time. Nothing shall be able to hinder us. Nothing shall rise up against us. Nothing shall defeat us. Nothing is greater than us in his name. There is something about that name. He says, you can ask for anything. Watch this. In my name, and I'll do it. Those of you who are married, those of you who are children, wouldn't you like to have heard your parents say, you can ask me for anything in my name, and I'll do it? Jesus does not mince words here. He didn't say, I'll think about it. He didn't say, eh. He said, I'll do it. Why? Because you met the criteria of verse 12. You are truthful. You believe in me. You're doing what I'm doing, and you're making it greater. He said, man, I'm proud of you. How many of you have ever rewarded anybody because you were proud of them? Your kids, your nephews, for those of you who are godparents, we don't do that much anymore. But whatever, you say, you know what? With this kind of report card, we're on our way to Toys R Us. KB done about gone out now. Toys R Us just ran them out of business. But you take that kid and say, whatever you want. And they walk around going, let me see. What's that? And then you fake them out with them high dollar versions. You go, nah, you don't really want that. That ain't no fun right there. I get one of these. And you know, kids know that if it's down here, if it's up there, You know, they walk over to the motorized cars. You say, no, you don't want that. you forgot the parameters of finance. They don't know. The big nickel and the big dime, they don't know. But you said, I'll do it. How many of you have ever done it? Because you thought they were worth it. Amen. The Bible even gives you an illustration of that. The Bible says, listen, if your neighbor came to you at an inopportune hour, because that's your neighbor and you care, you'd open the door. How many of you have ever done that? People come to you at inopportune times, or people come to ask you things, and because of who it is, because of what? Their relationship, because of their integrity, because you know the value of that person. There are, how many of you got friends that you'll do this for them, but you won't do this for them? Come on, everybody does. You don't have to be honest and raise your hand, let the camera see you. But you know I'm telling the truth. There are some people that when the phone ring, we go, oh, what's up? Yo, huh? You need what? All right. Well, let me work on some things. I got you. And then the other time it rings, you go, hello? Ain't no what's up, it's hello. And you try to do it in your I'm serious voice, hello. Hey, man, what's going on? Not much. No, I'm home. Well, I was getting ready to eat some dinner. I mean, what do you need? You know, cut to the chase. And then they chase him. Look, man, I just got a letter from the IRS, man. I gotta pay these people. You ain't got no letter from nobody. But you're not going to give it to them. You're not going to do it. Why? They're history. No, you can't ask me nothing. How many of you ever had to tell somebody, I know you ain't asking me that. And then you start reminding them why. How about this one? How many of you ever have used this line? Remember the last time what happened? That means it went bad. I still got stitches, fool. You know, and so Jesus is saying to us, let's establish some integrity here. Let's establish some consistency. Let's look at what you've been doing based on what you saw me do. And the reality for the church is we like verse 13, but we lack verse 12. We like to ask. We don't mind. Listen, you can rest assured there were more religious people last week before the Powerball went down. Religion was at an all-time high. Folk were praying, fasting, calling church meetings, and everybody was saying, Lord, I've been faithful unto you. Lord, if you'll just open up these windows and make me that one in 292 million, Father, ooh, in your name, I'm going to, and the Lord said, I don't know you. You ain't called me before. Some of them same people didn't even call him this week because it wasn't no big deal. The lines wasn't all around the building. It all changed. Why? It was self. It was greed. I watched a little couple in Munford, Tennessee, stood there talking about, we just like y'all, we regular people. No, you're not. None of us have $528 million and holding a big check in front of us. Some of us in the church today ain't gonna even bring a little check. Amen. We're not the same. And that's what the church needs to understand. We're not the same. We're not like everybody else. We can't keep waiting on everybody else to help us decide and be determined and express our desires and be disciplined in the body of Christ. Because some of you left people at your house or in your apartment or in your fellowship that have no interest whatsoever in what you have undertaken this hour. And even now that it's snowing, they're going to look at you and go, I can't go out there in the snow. It's the same folk who are going to make snow angels. And walk, and they're going to go out and throw snowballs at you. But they can't go to the Lord's house because it's snowing. You know how much time we really spend in the weather? Very little. We come out of houses, jump in cars, get out of cars, and go in buildings. That's how it works. It ain't like we got to trudge up the hill. We're going to walk. Most of our cars are less than 30 paces from our front door. Start them up. Some of them in under sheds and in garages, especially if we know it's going to snow, the one we intend to drive, we put that one in the convenient place. Put the other one over there. That goes to show how good God been when you got choices, when you can choose what to drive. How wonderful is our God? When you can choose what, nobody in here wears the same thing every Sunday. Look how good God has been. And yet we'll get up and say, I don't think I'm going this morning. You don't come to church to clap and pat your feet. You come to worship, to give thanks. See, we missed that. It's oh, give thanks. You don't mail it in. You go and give thanks. And you don't do that based on convenience. It's based on commitment. You can't sing all to thee I owe and give nothing. Jesus said, listen, I'll do anything you ask me. If you do verse 12, if you know truth, if you really believe in me. How many of you are brand loyal, B-R-E-N-D loyal? Okay. What's one of the brands you buy that you won't buy the other one? Give me a Maxwell House Coffee versus, so you won't buy Folgers, you won't buy Sanka, you won't buy Juan Valdez Colombian Bean. It's Maxwell House or no. Are you one of those discerning consumers that if I gave you Folgers, you go, this ain't, okay, see, okay. Who else raised their hand? Coca-Cola versus Pepsi, RC, generic brands, no bet, Coke only, okay. Who else, somebody else, who else? Come on, talk to me. Okay, well, Dole Pine, oh yeah, yeah, I go with you on that one. I lived in Hawaii, and there's a Dole processing plant, and there's a Del Monte processing. And trust me, even though we were hit the pause button, go mute, though we were stealing the pineapples out the field. Listen, trust me. Any of y'all ever been to Hawaii? Nobody been yet. You got to go. In Hawaii, I mean, pineapple fields are right along the highway. Especially if you go down the Mauna Kea Road. I mean, and so really if you pull over, now there's a sign that says $500 fine for attempting. They get you for attempting. Not listen, if they catch you on the side of the road and your foot on that line, they're going to arrest you. I'm serious. But anyway, the Dole pineapples seem to have been grown sweeter. Now, I don't know what it was, but trust me, we stole a few Del Monte pineapples. We procured, that's the word, acquired through means of covert activity. Thank you, Jess. You can go to court with me when they call. But yeah, I'm like that with Dole. So Maxwell House, Coca-Cola, Dole, anybody else? French, yeah, that's another one. Yeah, generic mustard, man, they don't do nothing. And now French has got one called sweet mustard. Ooh la la. Oui, it make you want to speak French. But yeah, so what I'm saying is, now let's go back. How did you first encounter Maxwell House coffee? Good, Coca-Cola. Okay, so you made a choice. You found something. But who gave you your first Coca-Cola? You remember? You just bought it, something like that. Okay. How about your Dole pineapple? How did you? Okay, all right. What brand did your mom use? You remember what brand mama bought? Store brand. You better hope your mama don't listen to podcasts. Sandra McKenzie, Miss McKenzie. So what happens is somewhere along the line, though, there's an offering made by someone else with prior knowledge about a certain product, and they put it in front of you. And at that moment, something in you said, what is this? If you've ever been, how many of y'all buy Starbucks coffee? Okay, oh good, y'all, yeah. Starbucks, man, biggest ripoff. How did they pull that off? I do not know. How do you pay that much for a coffee when right up the street there's a place called McDonald's? I mean, that 7-Eleven. You can buy coffee anywhere for nothing. And I don't get it. But anyway, Starbucks created a model, and people bought into it and said, you know, I just love Starbucks. Well, when you die and go to heaven, you really think? No, it's probably not gonna happen. But my point is this. Somewhere along the line, something became influential to us. It got us. And it triggered in us a desire. And that desire became dedicated because that's all I'm going to use now. And then you became very definitive about it. You know when somebody's trying to make you compromise and you say, no, I'm not going to do that. Well, let's just do that in the body of Christ. Let's just be solid with God. Let's just say no substitutes. In that movie with Queen Latifah, was The Last Holiday? I like it when Chef Didier comes out. You know, and the man bring the menu in the kitchen to order, and he's looking at it, and he said, no substitutes? And the man said, no substitutes. He said, I got to meet this person. Because, you know, at the other table, the senator and all them guys, they didn't want no butter, no fat, no cheese, no. And he said, how do you cook like this? What is wrong with these people? And Queen going to get it all. And she ordered like 7 courses. And you wonder why the queen is the queen. And he said, I got to meet this person. He said, how many at the table? One person? He thought, oh, he said, I'm cooking this myself. Why? No substitutes. How many of us in the body of Christ know people who always make substitutions? Always compromise. Again, weather substitution. Who preaching substitution? Who singing substitution? How long are we going to be there substitution? I got to give my money substitution. But yet, in other parts of our life, we're committed. We're not going to do anything that's going to disrupt this flow because this is what I like. I made up my mind. And so Jesus says, make me your choice. Make me your commitment. He said, choose me based on truth and then do what I do based on truth.
and get blessed based on truth. And then he says, I will push you into a greater glory based on truth. Watch what he says. He said, because it'll bring glory to the Father. By me blessing you, because of you blessing me and being committed, I will help you help me give the Father glory. And as I said to you before, if there is anything that ought to motivate us, it is the desire that God get the glory. Out of my children, out of my job, out of my assignment, everything I do. How many of you ever heard of the term attaboy? Those are good things, aren't they? In the military, we had a little saying that one oopso can wipe out 100 attaboys. How many ever been as good as you've been? In other words, what I'm saying is, as long as you were doing fine, you were the hero. But you mess up one time and everybody forget. Now you're a goat. What is the maximum effective range of an excuse? 0.0 meters. That's military term. In other words, no matter what you say, we don't want to hear it. You didn't get it done. You don't care about the weather. You think, how many of y'all got family members in the military? Okay. They'll tell you right now, this don't stop us. We just have saying, it don't rain in the army, it rain on the army. We don't stop because it's raining. Your husband got training this weekend? No. But if he had drill, you think they're going to cancel it because of this? No, sir. In fact, we figure out a way to have fun with it. Right now, if I was stationed in a place back in the day and this kind of stuff was happening, that don't mean we're not going to run. If PT was scheduled, which is physical training, for 0600 hours, I strongly suggest that at 0550, you be standing tall. Because we're going to run in the snow. Because we used to say back in the day when the Russians were our biggest threat, you think the Russians ain't going to come because it's snowing? They live in Siberia. That's an advantage for them. So we need to train you Southern soldiers how to live with this stuff. In the military, in the desert, most of the problem that we concerned ourselves with, back again before I left the military, was having a Middle East conflict. Because the heat, there's nowhere in America where we can simulate that. So what we decided was to start training in California. Out in the desert, because we knew that one day them Iranians or the Iraqis or Afghanistan, them Afghanis were going to do, and sure enough, we painted all out. You know, some of you have been around a long time. Remember when everything in the army was green? You know why everything was green? Because we thought that our greatest conflict would be European. And it's green in the Europe. And then somebody said, wait a minute, this is shifting. You start noticing everything went to what they call desert sand. We painted everything. Why? Because we were planning for what might happen. And sure enough, we were right. Because you put a green truck in the desert, that's like, here I am. Hey. But you put a desert, you can't find it. One of my jobs in the military was logistics operation, and we did camouflage learning. You know, we learned how to camouflage stuff. And we would have helicopters fly over where we were to see if they could see our stuff. And we were good at it. With green stuff, we didn't have no desert camouflage. So they had to start making it. And so then we went to the desert. And we set up all this stuff and tried to camouflage it. In the desert, because there are no trees, there's nothing, all of it, it's open. It's hard to hide stuff. Because it just sticks out. So they said, well, you know what? Since we ain't going to be able to hide it, we got to fight better with it. Because you can't hide. So we knew. Now, in European, we could hide, and they take pictures, and they come back and say, man, we can't find them. So, man, we got this. But in the desert, you can't do that. So what I'm telling you is that we need to learn how not to hide, but to be visible and how to operate. Jesus says, listen, go do what I'm doing. Get out there. He said, and I'll bless you, and it'll bring the Father glory. Why? Because y'all doing it. Do you really think we're giving God glory because we build bigger churches or pave our parking lot and decide to put the lines this way instead of this way? Or what time we start? It doesn't matter to God what time, just that we start. And that when we start that we might keep going, not get it over with. Lord, let me get on up here.
I'm going past it, he don't keep it there. You cannot be successful, nor are you deemed faithful, if all you're looking for is the end. Because your middle ain't no good. Your energies are all dedicated toward the last mile. That's why we look at the church again about this, when I die, when I go to heaven, when we all get together. No, we ought to get together now. So Jesus says, all right, this is what you got to do. So the truth is, what every disciple must do is lend himself to the leading and the listening of the Holy Spirit. We have not figured it out. We're working our way through. And again, you can't figure it out. There's too much to it. Who can know the mind of Christ? Oh, I got this thing. No, you don't. And you can't hop from church to church, or ministry to ministry, or fellowship to fellowship, because, you know, we've gotten so smart now, we don't even call our churches churches anymore. We call them fellowships and assemblies and, you know, believers' temple, and it's a church. He said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. And for people who say, well, it don't matter, it's the same thing. It's not the same thing. Again, go back to that same doctor and get that prescription and tell me how you feel about it. It's not the same thing. We're supposed to do what he told us to do and not try to be creative. God didn't ask us to be creative. He's the creator. He said, be obedient. He said, and your trees will always be flourishing. Your fields will always be overrun. He said, you don't have to figure out a way to grow stuff. I'll make it grow. I am the growth. You know, I give increase. How many of you ever tried to make something happen and it don't happen? That's when the text, if God be for us, comes back to mind. How many of you have ever been blessed like that? That you know it wasn't nothing you did, it was all the Lord. You can stand there and say, truly the Lord hath done this. Amen. Ain't no atheists in foxholes. That's the military saying. In foxholes, everybody believe in the Lord. Lord, please help us get out. Yeah, everybody pray like that. In every final exam week, everybody loved the Lord. We'll go to prayer meeting final exam week, especially if we ain't been studying. Anybody, they laying hands over there? Yeah, man, they laying hands over there. And let one person say, man, that guy prayed for me and I passed. What guy? What'd you do? You know, and so he says, listen, you're going to bring glory to the Father. Now watch. In verse 14, he makes sure they understand. He said, yes. Because you know what was probably happening? When he was talking, there were probably some people sitting there going, I don't know. So he kicked it back and said, yes, I will do anything. And you know, they probably did like Sister Walker. Ooh, yes. They probably said, thank you, Jesus. He said, you called me? Okay, y'all. He said, yeah, I'll do it. He said, why? Because I am. He said, yes, I will. He didn't say you got to go out and try to make it happen. All you got to do is ask me. That's why you don't have to do harm to people. That's why you don't have to be a fraud. You don't have to fake it till you make it. You've been designed to make it, but he says, do verse 12. And I got 13 and 14, and he doubles down by 14 saying, yes, I will do anything. Can I tell you that there's one list that you'll never exhaust? It's your wish list. Your to-do list, you want to hurry up and get that over with. But that wish list, and then God comes along and says, listen, in my name, you can heal the sick. If you want, you can feed hungry folk. Nobody will be thirsty. Nobody will be naked. Nobody will be homeless. In my name. Because that's what I want you to do. I don't want you to be selfish. I want you to be a servant. That's a whole mind flip right there. Because it's not all about us. It's all about Jesus. And, you know, we can't sing that if we ain't going to live that. You know, we can't be, it's not about us. It's about Jesus. We like that because it's got rhythm. But it has responsibility and requires a response from a people who understands the relationship. So stop dancing and popping and start living. Because the Lord requires that you live like you want to look. Trust me. How many of you
have ever been in front of the mirror and said to yourself, I got to do something? Those of you who wear glasses, how many glasses, how many pair did you try on before you decided on the pair you got? Yeah, you kept going, these don't. Now, what's the key word you kept saying? They don't look like who? Me. These don't fit my face. These don't look like me. I don't know. Why? Because you care about what people see. Now, you want to see. That's why you got them glasses. But you also care about how people see you. How many of you have looked at an old picture with you back when they had them ugly glasses and said, oh, my God. Them Clark, any of y'all ever own some Clark Kents? You know they're popular now. You know, everything comes around. You know, nothing new under the sun. But back in the day, if you look at them, especially y'all who went when they had black and white pictures in your high school album, college album, everybody had the same glasses. All the girls had them little cat-eye glasses, turned sideways, hair twisted up. All the guys had their Clark Kents on, looking studious. Because that's all we had. We didn't have Foster Grant and Tommy Hill figure and what's that high dollar version? Ray-Ban. We didn't have that kind of stuff. Black folk had glasses made out of Coke bottles. Grandma broke a bottle off. No, I'm just kidding. All right, Junior, you're good. Mr. Peabody's. Y'all remember the Mr. Peabody's? Everybody had a pair of Peabody's. That's all they had. And, you know, you took them off like you ain't wearing no glasses. Baby, where your glasses at? Man, please don't make me put them on. Baby, you keep bumping into stuff. Okay. But it was about me, what I look like. And the reality for us is simply this. Until you care what you look like, we don't either. But if you show me the light can be attractive. And if I see what you see in you, like you see it in you, like you see it in him, because that's what he said. He said, you're in me, and I'm in you. And when people see you, they ought to see me. And what you are is nothing without me. Don't think you can just freelance and just break off, you know, not about us. It's about Jesus. And then when you get outside, it's all about you. When you go to your job, it's all about you. When you go home, it's all about you. It's not about you. It's not about us. And us ought to be a better us, because that all together on one accord is not some figment of imagination. It is the call of the church. Can you imagine what this church would look like if we were all together on one accord? Can you imagine what we could do? How many of you ever seen a marching band, a real good one? You know, like Grambling, Bethune-Cookman, Fam, you know, them bad bands. Man, ain't that something? How many of y'all saw the movie Drumline? Come on, if you're an African-American, you got to watch Drumline. I mean, Drumline, all is about the mute. Forget all that other stuff. You know, I like Nick Cannon only because of Drumline. That mean one of them. How many of you ever wish you could play the drums like that? Come on now. Even Jonathan wish he could play like Drumline. And they flipping stick. You know, you're a bad joker when you're up there beating on somebody else's drum. I'm looking at him and say, yeah! I thought that the band director was a wimp. I don't blame Nick Cannon. Y'all ain't going to show up on us. He looked down the line like, ain't nobody else going? I'm going. And then the rest of them say, well, you got to go too. But listen, when you can do it, when you got it, you ain't going to let nobody make no. 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 Mm-mm. Not on my watch. But it's something about that majesty, the pageantry of seeing all them people working there, the tuba, boop, 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 boop. You know, how many of y'all remember pep rallies? Pep rallies, back in the day, pep rallies. All it took was somebody in the band to hit that one note. Boom, 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 boom. Oh, man, we were ready then. Oh, give me that. Oh, and the whole gym. They stopped letting us have pep rallies because we got down. The principal said, no more of this foolishness. Because, man, we got out of hand then, honey. You know, and then we had the challenge. the sophomores, the juniors, and the seniors. With my high school, they tried to experiment. They brought freshmen in. So we had the freshmen, sophomore. And so we let the freshmen start out. They do their little thing. They made them a little slogan, you know. Then we let the, you know, because all the while, you know, the seniors standing back, sophomores go, they do their little thing. Then we look down, juniors go. When they got to the seniors, we flipping all out the stand, people jumping off the principal said, no more, no more. And you know, back then they start breakdancing with just about coming in. Well, all out on the, you know, and everybody remember in high school, what's the one floor you don't walk on? The gym floor. Because poor Mr. Otis got to wax that thing. And you don't go on a basketball court. And the seniors ruined it. We started running. And you out there with heels and stuff. Man, them girls were dropping it like it's hot and going all down. And wasn't breaking no ankles. I mean, them girls were way down. And then the guys start throwing their legs over. And the principal said, stop! That was it. No more. No more pep rallies. We had no, why? Because we didn't know how to contain. There's something about that music. Something about the organization of bringing people together, doing one thing. And it's in the church. Why don't we hear the music? He is. He always has been. And always will be. You can't say, oh, taste and see. You can't talk about him being the Lamb of and the sound and the, you can't if you don't believe. And I really think that the biggest problem that the modern day church has is what it believes. And when I say it, I'll change it by saying who we believe. I felt that, y'all. I believe him. He is my music. He's my sound. He's my energy. He's life. And that's why I know he'll do anything. When David stood up and said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. He said it because he knew the integrity of both himself and God. And therein, my brothers and sisters, is the issue. How's your integrity based on his integrity? Because he is God. But are you? In God. Are you a follower or a faker? But I can tell you right now, there are things we do in life. Oh my God, why y'all didn't tell me what time it was? There are things we do in life that are built on consistencies that we never do in the body of Christ. We go to work every day, we go to class every day, we do. And then when it comes to the church, it's an option. If people miss as many days off their job as they miss out of church, none of us would have a job. Nobody in this room can keep a job showing up every other Sunday. Nobody does that. How many of you have vacation days that you haven't used? Sick days that you haven't used? Why? Because you haven't been fluffing. You've been loyal. You've been showing up. How many of you ever lost days because you didn't use them? Miss Mitchell, raise your hand, because you don't go nowhere. You can't, you know, you. When I was in the military, you earned 2.5 days a month for leave. And I've seen people lose days because they're loyal. How many ever came off vacation early because somebody said, we need you to come back? We got a crisis, something's wrong, and you the fixer. How many of you were told, we can't let you go that time of year because an annual review's coming? The people are coming down from headquarters. We need you here. And you said, all right. Well, your pastor says that. Your God says that. Your God says, worship me. How you going to say, I ain't going. It's going to snow. Oh, it's raining out there. I just washed my car. That's God's car. He don't mind it getting dirty. Oh, I'm going to mess up my heels. My grandma and them had a trick for that. They wore flats and went back in the ladies' bathroom and put their heels on. Yes, they did. They knew because it's mud out yonder. Yonder is a place beyond the front door. Those of you who don't know that. But they didn't say, oh, child, we can't go. I seen them put them old stockings on, the roll-up kind. Them ladies be in the back, close that door, child. But they didn't stop. And it leaked in our church. And the floors would catch a heel every night. I seen many of sisters go, oh, Lord, child, we need to fix that. But they didn't say, I ain't coming back. That floor had cracks in it. But they came to worship. Even when that old choir with all them old senior ladies in it sang, folks still clapped their hands. And somebody would encourage, say, y'all go ahead now. Put your weight on it. But they came to worship the Lord because they were going to be asking him for stuff. And God said, show me your integrity, and I'll show you mine. I am faithful. Amen. I've taken up too much of y'all time. Did I help you a little bit? Okay, we're going to come back and talk. We're going to move over into Romans next week. Lord, say the same. Father, thank you so much for these who have joined with us, these who were with us from the very beginning. Thank you, Lord, for those who share with us through our media outlet and resources. God, we bless your name today, and we want to be found faithful. And so, God, teach us faithfulness. Teach us how to endure hardness as a good soldier, just like Paul told Timothy. Teach us how to stand and stand some more. Teach us how to stay on the wall and not be distracted and drawn away because our friends don't believe in what we believe in. Teach us, Lord, that there is a great work and we are the workers. This is our season. So God, hold us to that. In Jesus' name we pray. And Father, we ask in this moment that you would forgive us if we've ever done it any other way. Oh God, give us this day that we might make the change that needs to be made, that your name be glorified. Thank you for my neighbor. Thank you for my friend and even the stranger, for it is good for us to be here. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, God bless you.